Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
All right, I want to introduce a good friend. I've known this man for probably, before I had kids, I know that. I remember you've prophesied a couple of my kids into existence and a couple of our staff kids into existence. Like Cy and Holly. It used to make me real nervous when Ron would prophesy babies. And I'd just be like, scratch my head and say, Ron. Ron, are you sure? Make me real nervous. And sure enough, babies would come popping out. So if you don't want to get pregnant, it's probably not a good idea. He prays for you. if you've had surgeries that prevent it, I've seen him pray for people and it happened. Ron is not just a minister. He's been a prophetic voice since we started our very first church when I was 26 years old. Ron was from the very beginning speaking in prophetically into our movement, and he's watched it grow with us over the years. And so he was in Egypt when I called him the other day and I said, man, I just feel like you're supposed to be with us. And it's interesting how every time and season of almost like transitional times, Ron just always is involved in those. And so we're in one of those now in this house where God's adding and he's blessing and he's growing. And it's 2-2-2020. And I'm not prophetic to pay attention to all that. I realized it on my Facebook this morning driving to church with Pastor Jamie, how all the prophets are prophet. Facebook, every prophet's going crazy today. And so, yeah, they're soaring. And so it's good to have my prophet friend with us, Ron Teal, all the way from Texas. Can you give Ron Teal a big Summit welcome as we welcome this prophet with us this morning?
Bless you. You guys are so kind. I bring you greetings from my beloved wife, Tricia, who's visiting her grandchildren at this point. Amen. I drug her out of the country for 2 weeks, and she said, I would go with you, but I'm going to go see grandbabies first. How many of y'all grandmas understand that? And it's good to be here. It's a joy. I bring you greetings from the great state of Texas to the great province of Alberta. How about that? Is that okay? And we're excited about what the Lord is doing. It's been an honor to walk these years with Chris and Nikki and just see them and their family grow in the Lord and to be able to see what God's doing. Just, we walked through some incredible times. And he talked about sometimes when guys come, they may not be able to speak. We've been in a number of those services together where the Lord just comes, wipes everybody out. How many of y'all would love to be in that kind of deal? I'm telling you, that's where you rise up stronger than you ever have been before. And it's been a joy and to be able to walk with them and just to spend time and to pour into their life. And, somebody asked me yesterday, why are you not going to prophesy babies? Well, because I make Chris and Nikki nervous every time I do. And but it's good. And Nikki just said, that's fine. Just don't talk to me. But we're excited. God's fixing to get one of y'all over there. I saw somebody trying to escape a minute ago. But anyway, you never know how the Lord's going to do those things. And I was kind of laughing. I was with Dutch the other day, and he said, somebody said something about, is that the guy that prays for, women to get pregnant? He said, if Teal prophesies a baby, go home and decorate the nursery. That's all I can tell you. So it's good. I'm excited about what God's up to today. Amen. Turn in your Bible anywhere, and I'll be there in a little bit. Is that okay? I'm probably going to just have a spasm today. I've been doing this 44 years, so I have a right not to have order. Okay? I've been doing it a long time. And I'm excited about sharing with you. The Lord's really doing a lot. I do want to prophesy to a number of you today, hopefully, both in this service and the next service. I really feel a strong prophetic flow. Today being February 2nd, 2020, I think is a significant day. I was last night asking the Lord about that, and he said, I brought you to Canada for a reason. And I said, Lord, why? He said, because I am transitioning them out of where they are into where they need to be. And at 5:55 this morning, he woke me up and he said, tell them triple grace is resting on the house. Today is a day of triple grace. And not only, I know there's double, double, double. I get all that. I understand what God's doing. But I'm just telling you right now, you guys are moving into a place where the Lord is not adding, he's multiplying. And I'm telling you, when you get under triple grace, it's crazy how God begins to just cause things to flow. And not only is there a divine order, but there's a divine flow. Turn to your neighbor and say, divine flow's coming. It was so interesting this morning when Chris was talking about money and tithes and offerings. And I've been teaching the last year a lot in places I go and just really releasing a prophetic provision. But the Lord has been speaking to me a lot about first fruits, tithes, and offerings. And I'm finding out what's happening is that the body of Christ doesn't have any idea really what first fruits, tithes, and offerings are about. And perhaps maybe one of these days there'll be a greater revelation and understanding. But while I was praying through that, the Lord began to speak to me about a year and a half ago. And he said, your tithe, he said, I give you 100% to begin with. A lot of people say, well, if the Lord will increase my salary, if he'll increase the money coming in, I'll tithe. He's already given you 100%. If he gives you 125, you'll have 125. Then you get to tithe off that. The best thing to do is bring your tenth off of what he's given you already. Take 10% of the 100 and prove him. And the truth is, the tithe is our testing ground, not God's. God's already said what he's going to do, but the test is, are we going to do what we need to do, right? And then you get into first fruits, it goes to a whole nother level. And Trish and I both have seen just amazing things happen in first fruits and then offerings. And I want to encourage you guys, step into the real prophetic provision and really the divine flow of what the Lord is willing to bring and provision in your life. Don't let money rule you. You rule your money. It's so important you understand money is what God gives you in order to extend the kingdom of God in the earth. And here's the deal. You may think you're going to run out, but he never does. When you get that in your spirit, you're going to be all right. Got it? Because the Lord has more than enough money in his treasury to release to his sons and daughters. And I found out a long time ago, he'll get it to me if he can get it through me. Got it? So if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you every time. Amen? That's free. Has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about today. Is that all right? I want to talk to you today. Really, the Lord's got me really hung up. And you can turn to Luke chapter 7. The Lord's really got me hung up in this thing of the secret truths, the hidden truths, and the story behind the story, as Chris was talking about today. And it's so important that we understand that. I want to talk to you about one passage because this is what I believe you guys are stepping into. And it was funny because the Lord really spoke to me when Chris called me in Egypt and said, man, can you come? I said, well, I can't this week. And you know, we talked again and I was able to work it out to be here with you today. And it was an honor to me to be able to step into this place for two reasons. Number one, I want to drink out of the well the Lord's dug here. Is that all right? I came to get a drink. I don't know what you came for, but I came to drink out of the well of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And yesterday I met with your leadership and the Lord gave me Ezekiel 47. You can go read that. And I'm not going to talk about that today. Just simply saying this, guys, if you hadn't realized it, God's getting you in over your head. If you're out there about ankle deep, knee deep, or loin deep, just go ahead and take the plunge. Get in over your head and let the river of the Lord take you where he wants you to go. Is that right? I'm telling you, there's great rivers that are running through Edmonton right now. And whenever I flew into Edmonton on Friday evening, one thing that I saw was that the rivers are going to run outside the bank. I'm telling you, the banks will not contain the rivers that will begin to flow. And I really believe that the Lord is helping us understand that spiritually, the river of his spirit that's coming from the very throne room of the Father is running through this region. And you've got to learn how to get into it. And I love what Pastor Chris said yesterday. You're not going to use oars. You're going to use a sail. Got it? Whenever you use oars, you're going to get what the Lord or what man provides. But when you use your sail, you'll get what God provides. And I'm telling you, it's really okay for you to lean back and let the Holy Spirit take you where he wants you to go. It's really okay to do that. Because I really believe the Lord is doing some things. And I really believe that you guys are at a real place where the Lord is transitioning you into this next season. We moved into a new era about last September, back at the Day of Atonement, when we moved into the Jewish New Year. The Lord spoke to him and he said, this new era is going to be marked not by days, weeks, months, but by years. In fact, it will stretch beyond the next decade. And you need to understand that this new era the Lord has taken us into is not going to be like anything we've ever walked through before. In fact, I'm just telling you right now, you are going to read about, as you get older, what God is doing in these days. And it will mark a real powerful move of the Spirit in the history of the Christian church. And you're going to get caught smack dab in the middle of it. Amen? If you haven't memorized John 14:12, you need to do that. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, the works that I do, you shall do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. How many of y'all know that we're going to pass up what Jesus did in the earth? Got it? Now, a lot of us are trying to catch up with what he did, and I'm going to talk to you about what he did, but I want you to understand, anytime you believe the word of the Lord that is spoken to you, you can learn how to eat of the harvest or the fruit of what God says. One thing that I believe is very important right now is when you can receive the word of the prophets that is spoken to us, you can also receive the reward of the prophets that comes. And Jesus Christ is the greatest prophet that has ever walked the face of the earth. Amen? He's your Savior. He's your Lord. But you need to understand that when he stood and he began to release the word of the Lord in places, he began to speak. His words were spirit and life to us. Can you agree with that today? Turn to your neighbor and say, the word of the Lord is spirit and life to you. So I want you to grab hold of what God is saying, because I think that is very, very important. And Luke chapter 7 is a very powerful, powerful, really passage. And I want us to pick up in verse 11. The first 10 verses happen to deal with the Roman centurion. And it's whenever Jesus healed his slave. And if you'll remember, the story is he came and he sent word to Jesus, said, my slave is sick. I need you to heal him. And Jesus said, well, I'll come to your house. He said, no, I'm not worthy if you come to my house. If you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus' reply was, I've not seen such great faith in all Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn how to believe the word of the Lord and understand when God speaks, it's a done deal, right? We're always looking for how we can add to it. Don't try to add to what God's saying. Just step into what he said. If you'll step into what he said, your faith will begin to release a power and a grace. I'm telling you, triple grace. Shout triple grace. Triple grace is on this house to decree the word of the Lord so that you will be able to walk in greater faith than you ever have been. Got it? You need to understand, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Hope keeps faith alive. That's why God is restoring hope to many of you. Can I go ahead and prophesy just for a moment? Dreams are coming in a fresh way to many of you. Your dreams will begin to have power untold. You will dream in the night watch because the Lord gives to his beloved in his sleep. And in your dreams, there will be revelation coming to you. The strategies of the Lord will begin to be released. And through the power of your dreams, you will see the realistic side of the Savior coming. I'm telling you right now, by the word of the Lord, your dreams are significant. It will restore hope to you, and your faith will rise to new levels. You will call those things that be not as though they were, because the reality of the word is Jesus is Lord. Can you believe that? And whenever the Lord begins releasing his powerful word inside of us, it's because he is creating miracles. You are getting caught in a time of creative miracles. It's going to be crazy. Got it? Now, I'm going to say something here so you can understand what this passage is about. You're going to start seeing God put back into physical bodies what doctors took out. Is that okay? He's going to start putting, listen, there are storerooms in heaven full of body parts God's waiting to put on folks. That's making some of y'all pretty nervous, isn't it? How many of y'all know who Smith Wigglesworth is? He's one of my heroes. Y'all do know everybody hated him while he was alive. He didn't become a hero till he died. Now, I'm not interested in doing that. You understand? But the thing about it is, you got to understand, everybody hated him because of what happened. But one time he went into a vicar of the Church of England's home. He was staying there with him. And this vicar had no legs. I mean, he was a double amputee. And so they were having dinner together, and Smith looks at him and says, go buy you a new pair of shoes in the morning. And the vicar looked at him kind of oddly. It's kind of like, what are you doing? I mean, really? So they go to bed that night. The vicar goes and begins to pray. And he said, Lord, this man has insulted me. He knows I have no legs. I have no feet. I don't need shoes. I have prosthetic limbs. And the Lord spoke to the vicar while he's praying. He said, go do as my servant has told you. So they get up the next morning. They have breakfast together. And the vicar looks at Smith and says, I'm going to go buy shoes. So he goes down to the shoe store, got there before it opened. The guy met him. The owner opened the door. He met him there. He walks in and he said, sir, I need to buy a pair of shoes, size 8 black, please. And the guy looked down and he said, oh, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place. We don't have prosthetic limbs. I can't sell you what you need. And he said, no, I'm not interested in a prosthetic limb. I want a pair of black shoes, size 8. And he said, sir, you don't understand. You need to go down the street and they will help you. He said, I'm not interested in having new prosthetics. I'm telling you, please sell me a pair of shoes. So he goes to the back to get the shoes. The vicar sits down, takes his limbs off, his legs, and he puts a sock on both of the stumps. And the guy comes out and he hands him the pair of shoes. He slips one shoe in over the stump and a leg and a foot grew into it. Put the other shoe on, a leg and a foot grew into it, and he got up and walked out with a brand new pair of shoes and a brand new pair of legs. That really did happen. Don't tell me God can't do this. We had a lady come to one of our meetings who had a hysterectomy. I prayed for her, and she went and had a baby. Imagine God doing that. Some of y'all ladies are like, let me out right now. I don't want to even get close. I've not seen so great a faith in all Israel. Let me ask you this. Is your faith level at the place that God can produce a miracle through you? The power of revival is not a meeting. The power of revival is a culture of people who will embrace everything that Jesus said and will learn to walk it out, knowing that their faith will produce inside them and in the lives of other people the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, the Lord can't do miracles till we engage. And many of us ask ourselves the question, why am I not seeing miracles? Well, I'm going to ask you this. What are you doing to provoke them? What are you doing to release them? Now, God can instantly heal anybody. There's no question about that. The Lord can do it. But you know what's amazing? How the Lord says, I want you to lay hands on the sick that they'll recover. Isn't it interesting? He said, I want you to pray. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. You know, I hear people all the time. I pastored for 32 years, and people say, well, you didn't come pray for me. I said, you didn't call me. And they said, well, what has that got to do with anything? I said, the word says that if you're sick and you want to be healed, call for the elders. It is an act of faith for me to call for the elders of the church for healing to come over my life. Amen? And I got to learn how to walk in faith. I'm going to call for the elders of this church to pray over me today sometime. I've had my nose in three different continents in the last 2 weeks, and it needs to straighten up. You know what I'm saying? All this junk going on. I want a healing today. You know what I'm going to do? I'm calling for the elders of the church. They're going to anoint me with oil and pray for me. I'm going to submit to the leadership of the Word of God in my life because I want a miracle. Everybody say, I want a miracle. If you want a miracle, you got to do what it takes in order to get the miracle here. And I'm telling you, if you want revival, if you'll truly be broken, he'll fill you up and he will literally begin to move through you. And I'm telling you right now, what is happening in this house is nothing that's going to end anytime soon. So you better get comfortable because God's about to take you guys to another level and you're going to begin to see what God can do with the people who will walk with him. D.O. Moody said, the world is yet to see what God can do with a man who is totally sold out to him, and I want to be that man. Do you want to be that person that is so sold out to Jesus Christ that the world will look at you and say, I may not understand what they're doing, but I can see what's happening, and it's a God deal. Amen? So Jesus walks out of this place where this guy says, Lord, if you'll speak the word, my servant will be healed. So Jesus spoke the word, his servant was healed. Then he leaves there and he's headed down. It says in verse 11, and it came about soon afterwards, he went to a city called Nain. Now, many times we look at it and call it Nain, but it's not Nain. It's actually Nain. And his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now, I want you to see something that's really important. When Jesus was headed down that place, he didn't go alone, but he took his disciples, the guys that he was training to take his place when he left. And by the way, let me just say something about discipleship. Discipleship is not sticking somebody in a room with a study guide. Discipleship is putting somebody on your hip and walking with them for a period of time so that they can pick up your DNA. Amen? And I'm just telling you right now, one of the most powerful things God is doing right now is he is transferring his DNA through his sons and his daughters into the lives of other people. And DNA is learning how to be able to catch what God is doing. There is a DNA in the house that has to be embraced. And I really believe the Lord's doing that. Well, he takes the disciples with him. He's got a multitude and they're going down. Now, here's the deal. Jesus knew what was about to happen, but they didn't. How many of y'all know when God catches you by surprise, he's not surprised? Oh, Lord, did you see that? And he said, I created it. Really? You see, a lot of times we think the Lord is caught, but he didn't. Jesus knew exactly what was about to take place because he had spent time in a lonely place with a father, and now he was on a journey. He takes the disciples with him, and he takes a multitude with him. Why? Why did he take a multitude? Because he was interested in sowing into them what was about to happen so that they could learn to capture the dynamics of the kingdom. Now, here's what's awesome. They go down there. Now, as he approached the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. So he's walking along the road. He comes to this city, and here comes a funeral procession out of the city, and they were carrying a man. Now, if you watch TV or movies and you listen to Hollywood, you'll want to think that this is a boy, but it's not. It's actually a Roman soldier. The guy that had died in action. So as he was killed in action, it left the mother that was there. In fact, I'm going to just go ahead and prophesy. Can I release this word, Chris, about widows right quick? This morning while I was praying, I got up early and was praying into the service today, and I was reading back through this. When I got down to the place of widows, the Lord spoke to him, and he said, you need to tell the summit that I'm going to give them 100 widows to care for. And pure and undefiled religion is this, is to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. There is no purer thing that you can do than to care for widows in their distress. I'm telling you, it's the heart of the Lord. God's going to give you 100 widows to care for. You know why? Because he can trust you to take care of them. So y'all say, God, give us 100 widows. You'll get favor from the Lord. Get some orphans. Get some single moms that need that. But anyway, the Lord's going to release that. But anyway, this lady was coming out. And the Lord saw her in verse 13, and he felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. Now, isn't it interesting he would say that? And he came up and he touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother, and fear gripped all of them, and they began glorifying God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report concerning him went out all over Judea and in all the surrounding district. How many of y'all know that's a powerful miracle right there? It's awesome to see what's happening. Now, let me give you the story behind the story. Can I give you the story behind the story? I am so intrigued with the story behind the story. Nan actually was a Roman colony. It wasn't just a city in that area. It was a Roman colony established by the Roman government. It was built for the purpose of housing and caring for the Roman soldiers that were operating in that day. And a lot of people don't really realize this, but I want to just kind of submit this to you. You need to realize that in this day, the Roman government had rule over that particular area of the world. We don't think about that. I've told people recently, you know, Jesus was a Roman citizen, and man, I mean, people just have a meltdown. Well, I thought he was a Jew. He was, but he was also a Roman citizen. Therefore, he was under Roman authority. But what was interesting about this is that the city of Nan was created to house these guys. Well, what had happened, this particular guy wasn't just a little boy. He actually was a soldier. He was killed in action. And whenever he was killed in action, they took him back to the city of Nan, and there they took care of his body. They were coming out on this particular day in a funeral procession. The mother was there. She was weeping because she was a widow. Her father or her husband had died. Now it was her only son who could care for her. Now, what was important was this. He was the sole one that could provide for her because there were no other sons or daughters, and he was the only son, according to Roman law is the son would take care of the mother whenever the father had died or the husband had died. So it was he was the one. Well, she was weeping and crying at the loss of her son, but also there was a loss of the provision and to come. Jesus had compassion. He loved her. He cared for her. He saw what was happening, but he also knew the backstory of what was going on. So here they were bringing the man out. Jesus walks up and he stops the funeral procession. Now, before I tell you about the guy, let me tell you about the implication of what just happened. According to the law of the day, when a Roman soldier is being carried out in a funeral procession, it was against the law to stop the procession. In other words, the funeral procession had authority and they had right of way for everything else. And the people that were at had to yield to that. And they were not to approach the funeral procession at all because of honor to the one who had been killed. Second thing was, they were not permitted to touch the coffin of the deceased soldier because it literally was executable on the spot. The Romans that were there, the soldiers, actually were under the law of Rome that if anybody touched that coffin, they shot them immediately. They killed them. It was just no questions asked. They immediately took their life. Okay? So they would stab them. They would do whatever they had to do, however they would kill them that day. So for Jesus to be able to stop the funeral, number one, was a problem. For Jesus to touch the coffin was a really, really big problem. But what happened out of that literally changed everything. How many of y'all know a move of God will shift everything? Let me tell you, there's a prophetic word here that we need to grab hold of, and that is when the Lord begins doing something, it always shifts the atmosphere, and it also changes the culture into what he desires it to be. The interesting thing about the fact was this particular man had been dead for over 30 days. And according to the way that they embalm bodies, and here again, everybody, I hope your stomach's real good. I'm going to just describe it for you. When this sarcophagus, which was a coffin, back then they called them a sarcophagus, but anyway, they would bring the sarcophagus out, and whenever Jesus approached the boy or the man, the body in the casket had already had a lot of the internal organs removed, because what they did in that day, when someone would die, especially under Roman rule, they would take the eyes out, take the tongue out, take the heart out, take the lungs out, and take the spinal cord out. And back then, they would take them and they would preserve them in jars. And this didn't really become a reality until I was in Egypt a couple of weeks ago, and I was visiting a big museum there, and I was seeing a lot of the coffins, and which were called sarcophaguses. I saw all the coffins, but I also saw these urns. It was like these jars, and they literally were used to carry. So what they would do is they would pull these organs out, put them in the jars, put the embalming fluid in there for a period of 30 days, and they would take the body and they would submerge it in the embalming fluid, and the body would be there for a period of 30 days before they took it out before the funeral. So this particular body, this particular man, on this funeral procession coming out of the city, not only was his body in there, but the priest was carrying the urns or the jars that had his eyes and his tongue and his heart and his lungs and his spinal cord. And they're coming out of the city. Jesus looks, and the overwhelming compassion that Jesus possessed from the Father, the overwhelming compassion began to overtake him for this woman. He saw her weeping. And he said, "Do not weep." He touched the coffin. And you can imagine what the Roman soldiers, they were ready to go after me at that point. And before they could even get to him, he simply touched the coffin. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the Bible says, and the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, how many of you know that would freak everybody out? How would you like to be the priest carrying the jar with the tongue in it? He probably peeked in there and says, "Is that still in there?" I mean, you got to understand, there was a miracle of resurrection. But you need to understand the story. Behind the story is, not only did Jesus raise a guy from the dead, but he put everything in that the Bible took out. And the problem with that is, it had been over 30 days. How many of y'all know, behold, he stinketh after 30 days? You see, the truth is, not only was there resurrection, and by the way, let me just submit this to you prophetically. The Lord's going to create 7 resurrections from the dead in this house. Y'all just get ready. Y'all are going to see 7 people that's going to be raised from the dead. Is that all right? That's just a side note. That is true. Some of y'all didn't receive it. You need to receive it. God's going to allow you to pray for the dead, and they're going to be raised. You know why? Because that's the ministry of the Lord Jesus, to give life to the dead. Don't spiritualize it, even though you're going to be winning people to Jesus. Every person that gets saved is a resurrection. I get it. I'm just telling you, God's going to give you stone-cold people to pray for, and you're going to raise them from the dead, and they're going to live again, and because of that, they're going to receive Jesus Christ. Amen? And don't get caught up in the fact that people say to me all the time, "Well, do you pray for unbelievers to be raised from the dead?" That's all I pray for, to be raised from the dead. You think I'm going to jerk somebody out of heaven back down here? Really? We get this idea, only people God's going to raise from the dead are Christians. Listen, if they're a Christian, they die, leave them alone. They're not interested in coming back here. They're with Jesus. Dude, that's a no-brainer. I don't even have to think about that. Unless I have a command or decree from the Lord that they need to come back for something. Can I just tell you something right now? It really is okay to find somebody that's lost and raise from the dead so they can know Jesus. Isn't that good? Y'all think I'm crazy, don't you? This guy sets up. "Young man, I say to you, arise." How many of y'all know the very thing Jesus said is what take place? What was happening here? "I say to you, arise." But what was even greater than that was when he sat up, he began talking. I mean, can you imagine that? The guy had been dead for 30 days, didn't have any of that stuff. Jesus put it back in. And the first thing he did when he sat up, he wanted to talk about what just happened. The creative miracle, the story behind the story, makes the resurrection more powerful. When you begin understanding that this dead man could not do what Jesus had just commanded him to do, yet at the command of the Lord, the word of the Lord, because the dead man did not resist. Got it? Did it go in? A lot of people say, well, we don't see that in our life. You're not dead enough yet. You just need to be a little more dead. Sometimes how many of y'all know we need to die to our flesh? Paul said this, crucified with Christ? Did he say that? I am crucified with Christ. Yet not I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and delivered himself up for me. Listen, you got to understand, the more dead we get, the more alive he becomes. And so the dead man didn't resist, but whenever he sat up, not only did he prove he had a spine, but then he began to speak and he began to prove and decree. And I imagine whenever they looked at him, he probably had the clearest blue eyes you could ever see because there was nothing in him that would beguile him whatsoever. There's no guile left in him. This man was raised up. And the scripture said here, I love this story. This is probably my favorite part of this whole story. Verse 16, and fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. Let me just tell you something. Why is God doing resurrections, miracles, signs, and wonders? Why is that happening? Why are you beginning to see that around here? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord wants to be glorified in our midst, and he wants people to walk in and say, God, you are so great. No man did this, but God, you did this. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to begin to see a shift and a transition from the prayer board being filled up to the miracle board being filled up. And I'm just telling you, when I come back here, that place better be filled up. That thing ought to be snow white and things falling off of it. You know why? Because of the power of the miracle that God gives. Signs, wonders, and miracles are being released in you. And I'm here to tell you, some in Edmonton, what God has done is he has begun the birthing process among you, that signs, wonders, and miracles, creative miracles are going to begin to take place. And all of Canada is going to be looking to Edmonton. Why? Because they're going to begin to hear of the miraculous signs and wonders that are coming. They're going to see the demonstration of God's power. Why? Because Jesus raised a guy from the city of Nain and put everything back in him that man took out. And I'm telling you, what man and culture is taken out of the people, God is going to replace back to his glory, to his honor, and to his majesty. Men and women, I say to you, arise. Arise. Why? Because God's in a miracle position. Listen, his hand is not short at all. His hand is not weak. But his hand is strong. His arm is strong. We got to understand what God is doing today. He's revolutionizing his people. Now listen, it's great when God does things for us, but it's greater when he does it through us. Can I say that again? It's great what God does for us, but it's greater what he does through us. Do not get caught up in what God does for you. You need to get caught up in what God does through you, because what God does through you is what changes a nation. And I'm telling you right now, Canada is poised for a visitation of the Lord in the midst. And I'm telling you, whenever Jesus did this miracle, they all began glorifying God. Great fear fell upon them. And when that great fear came upon them, there was something inside them that began to change. Acts 2:43, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And great signs and wonders were being done through the hands of the apostles. What was happening? There was an awe. Listen, you know, I am so excited because I'm sensing an awe of the Lord here. And I'm telling you, God's going to position this thing. He's going to position you and I in a place to where we will begin to live in a sense of the awe of the Lord like we never have before. It's the awe that bursts a greater move than we've seen. You know, it's almost like when we get so caught up in what God's doing and we are living in the awe of his hands and his face and his presence, it's like the Lord says, okay, let me just show you something better than what you just saw. How many of y'all know that the greater works are yet to be done? If Jesus is true, and I believe he is, if Jesus was empowering us, and I believe he is, then we need to understand that when he looked at his disciples and said, the works that I do, you will do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, we're going to step into some things that he is releasing through us to his glory, to his honor, and we get to be the people who see. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to see. About five years ago now, I had a visitation from the Lord. It's at 3:33 in the morning. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things, you know, and I'm not 3:33. I'm in my bedroom, and all of a sudden, I woke up, but I didn't open my eyes, because when I came to, I was shaking. And there was a presence in my room. I thought, Lord, if I open my eyes, I'm out of here. And before I could open my eyes, I said, Lord, is that you? He said, yes, I'm here. I said, Lord, what do you want from me? He said, I want to know who's going to buy the field. Get up and read Matthew 13:44. I opened my eyes and he was gone. I got up and I read Matthew 13:44. And you know what it says? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which a man found and he hid. And with joy over it, went and sold all that he had and he bought the field. I went back and began to pray. The Lord came back and he said, I want to know who's going to buy the field. He said, Ron, the thing I'm looking for you and for the body of Christ today, I'm looking for a people who will realize that the treasure is worth the effort and it's worth you selling all you have in order to buy the field. When you treasure what I treasure, you'll have what I possess. And I'm telling you right now, the people that are left in the field of Canada are treasures that are worth buying. They're treasures that are worth going after. They are treasures that you and I have got to learn to lay hold of, because the treasures of the kingdom of heaven are great, but the treasure is about life. And it's amazing what God's doing. And I'm here to decree and declare to you today that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are stepping in way over your head and you are now beginning to see the beginning of the supernatural ways of the kingdom being released among you, and you are stepping into a place to where what we read about in Luke 7 about this man who was raised and receiving all of his faculties, whenever the Lord restored him totally, he did not leave him in any way undone, but yet this man arose from here and became great. The rest of the story is the man became a great leader among the Roman Empire. That's the rest of the story. It's amazing what God does, and you and I get caught in it. CJ, the Lord began speaking to me this morning, you about 6:00. And it was funny, whenever I woke up, the Lord said, when you see CJ, tell him that I'm bringing him out in order to bring him in. He said this, tell my son, he's been through a desert time, he's been through a dry time, he's went through a time where I have formed him. And the Lord says, now I am bringing him out in order to bring him in. And when I bring him into this new place, he's going to begin to see my hand work in ways he has never seen before. The Lord says that the sky is the limit because he has no boundaries. He has taken you to a place and he's pulled the boundaries down, because now he's wanting you to see the magnitude of his greatness that's going to be accomplished in your life. He has brought you out in order to bring you in. And the Lord says you've had to come out so that you could go in, so that whenever you go in, you can appreciate all that he's doing. The desert times are some of the greatest times of our life. You know what God does in the desert? He prepares us for our next journey. He prepares us for our next destination. And I really believe it's the heart of the Lord to move you into that place. So you're in a prophetic season of your life. In just a moment, whenever we have our altar time, I want you to come down here. I want to lay hands on you. Because I believe God now is positioning you, your wife, and your children, your children, for what's on the way. For real? She pregnant? Ha! Come on. How many of y'all know God tells secrets? Your children are going to carry the inheritance and the heritage of the Lord. And you need to understand where you've been.
And where he's taking you is going to be a proving ground for the release of what he's releasing in your family. Okay? Isn't it fun? How many of y'all like this? You can't make this stuff up. This is good. His heart for us is greater than anything we could ever imagine. When I walked in the room today, the Lord says, I'm healing digestive issues. He said, I'm going to heal Crohn's disease. Somebody here has got ulcerative colitis. You're going to get healed today. Gluten intolerance, lactose intolerance, you're going to get healed today. God's going to bring healing. Just a moment, we're going to begin to pray. You know why? Because God is a good God who heals. I went to Aniana, Alabama. You say, where is that? I'm not sure I know where that is, but I went there. There's a physical therapist who is a friend of mine who had lactose intolerance. Dairy destroyed his intestines. He came forward, and I said, I'm going to pray for you. And when I began to pray for him, he said, okay, I'm receiving the word of the Lord for my life. I'm receiving my healing right now. I said, okay. He left the meeting, went straight across the street, got the biggest milkshake he could get and drank it. And then he got two dips of ice cream after that. Next day he calls me and said, well, I'm okay. I said, well, of course you're okay. He said, no, I'm okay. He said, normally within about an hour, my digestive system is destroyed. And he said, but I want you to know, the Lord healed my body. That word brought a change in my body. So I go by Dairy Queen. Y'all have Dairy Queen up here? I went by Dairy Queen and got the biggest ice cream cake I could buy. I carried over there too. And this guy loves ice cream. He had to have ice cream made out of almond milk and soy and all that other stuff. I took him a for real ice cream cake. He ate half that thing. It was a sheet cake that wide and that big. The guy is about that big around. He eats half the cake. He said, well, we'll find out in a few minutes. He was fine, got up the next morning and ate the other half cake before he went to work. Hallelujah. I told that story in Florence, Alabama. There's a little girl over here. She said, that's me. That's me. And I'm allergic to eggs. Can you get that too? I said, sure. Prayed for her. I got back to my room and I got a Facebook message. She had an empty quart of milk. She said, I did this and I ate some ice cream and everything's good. I'm having eggs in the morning. I'll let you know. She texted me the next day and says, you never believe this, but I had no reaction whatsoever. The Lord has completely healed my body. All of my food allergies have been broken. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve the kind of God who moves us into a new place to where we can begin to experience some things we've never experienced before. Chris, I'm just telling you right now. How many Chris's are in here? All right, all you Chris's, stand up. All the Chris's stand up. I got a Chris at my house. My oldest son's name's Christopher. It means Christ bearer. I'm going to prophesy to you Chris's so you don't sit down. But I'm going to just tell you this. This morning, the Lord told me that the redemptive value of the kingdom of God is resting upon you. As you begin to lead us into communion, the Lord spoke to me and he said, tell him that what he is doing is going to have greater value than anything he could ever imagine. And he said, my body and my blood is not only the thing that has touched him, but it will bear a mark upon his life. And he will begin to carry a revelation of communion with me. And I will allow him to be able to speak out of the wellspring of communion. And the Lord says that ye will give you a word that will begin to change the hearts of people. Communion will begin to be something that you do. In fact, I'm just going to submit this to you. I heard the Lord say, tell him I want to meet with him every day over my body and my blood. So if I were you, I'd go get me some wine and some bread. And every day I would have communion with the Lord for a period of time, because God's wanting to meet you there. And it's through the power of the body and the blood of Jesus. Now, you were Catholic prior to this. Did I understand that correctly? And they taught transubstantiation and that whole deal. You know what that's all about. Well, let me just tell you something right now. It will be as if what they said is a weak version of what he's going to reveal to you about the power of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. There's going to be something strong about that. But I'm going to tell you, here's the deal. You're going to teach the body of Christ the true meaning of what communion is all about. The Lord is going to give you a word that's going to turn the hearts. I sat and I wept while you spoke today because of what I sense in the realm of the Spirit, because of the revelation that God's taking you in. And so you need to understand, when you stand to present the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus to people and you give the elements to them, it's not going to be just something you do because that's what we're supposed to do. No, 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 no. You're going to put a value to it where people will take it in their life. And I'm going to tell you something you're going to start seeing. You're going to start seeing tremendous healings take place when you serve communion to people. It's almost like the hand of the Lord is going to come out of you and touch them. And when they touch the body and the blood of Jesus, the healing miracles are going to begin to take place. That's going to be the calling card that God's given to you. Oh, there you go. You guys that are Chris, when I came in the room, it's kind of funny. I was talking to Chris. He said, well, I'm another Chris around here. I said, my Lord, how many of y'all got in here? That's right. The minute I said that, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm marking every Chris this morning that is in the room. They will be a Christ bearer. Your name means Christ bearer. And there will literally be a Christ bearing attribute that will begin to operate out of you. People will not call you a Christian. They will call you a Christ bearer. You'll be one that will carry the intensity of the kingdom of God, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says that you Chris's now are going to rise up with a precious view of the cross. And you'll be able to walk with a sense of intensity because as a Christ bearer, you will present him everywhere you go. And the Lord says that as you begin to walk with stability, with foundation concerning the things of the kingdom and the things of the cross, the Lord says the name Chris will become a powerful move, and the Lord will begin to use you in the lives of many people so that they can see the reality of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of this whole thing, the revelation of the crucifixion will break you so you will be remade. The revelation of really what happened to the Lord Jesus when he went to the cross will begin to birth a new revelation of the life of Jesus in you. Therefore, you Chris's will begin to walk in revelation and resurrection power. You will lead the way for the resurrections that will be seen. Because as one who is a Christ bearer, you carry the revelation of the resurrection. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You, Chris, you are a marked man. I'm telling you, I saw you marked by the hand of the Lord today. And God says, now you are going to begin to rise up and become an oracle of the Lord. The words that you begin to speak will have destiny written upon them. You're not going to speak into a person's life as to where they are now. You're going to speak and you're going to give them a future. You're going to give them a destiny. You're going to give them a hope. You're Barnabas' spirit that's coming out of you will begin to release strong words. And Chris, you will stand as a man who will be the oracle of the Lord to be able to speak such destiny in the lives of the sons and daughters that they will begin to capture the heart of the Lord. But here's the thing, you will ascribe the beauty of the Lord to those that you speak to, and they will stand in the wonder and the amazement of who he is because you have spoken over their lives. God is giving you words that will be creative, that will come out of your mouth, and you need to understand that you will begin to call those things that be not as though they were, and there will be no doubt in your mind or your heart as to the word of the Lord that you're speaking over them. But as you begin to speak it, faith will rise up inside them because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will become a man of faith. You will be known as an apostle of faith in Edmonton, Canada because of the faith that you carry. Your faith will grow and people will be drawn to the faith that will rise up out of you. You will become a man marked by the faith that causes other people to believe. When it's unbelievable, it will be believable because you will speak the word of the Lord, and God will use you as one who will be an oracle to decree the power of faith. May it be unto you according to the word of the Lord. You're changed from this day forward. You're not going to be the same man. You're going to wake up in the morning, Aaron, and there's going to be a new guy in the bed with you. But it'll be the same body. Hallelujah. Just want to make it known. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let me just tell you something right now. Doubt is being totally wiped out of your life right now. Doubt is, just, I mean, there will be no question anymore. It'll be, the Lord said that, this is my possession. And you're going to walk in the possession of the Lord like you've never seen in your life. Amen? Now, let me show you something the Lord began showing me. How many of y'all would like to receive that word for yourself? Well, stand up. No, Chris, stand up. No, you can't sit down yet. How many of y'all know the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? A lot of times I'll go into meetings and prophesy, and people say, well, you didn't prophesy to me. I said, well, you didn't tap into what they got. And they'll look at me like, what do you mean? And I'm teaching people now, when we release a prophetic word, if something rings in your spirit, you can tap into that by the testimony of the Lord Jesus. See, God's not interested in leaving anybody out. But this is a word given to this man. It's a word given to the Chris's. But in your heart, you're saying, God, I want that. Receive it. Turn to your neighbor and say, receive it. By faith, receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that what you are resting upon this man today, God, you would cause to rest on the rest of these. Lord, you're not interested in leaving anyone out. Yes, they're individual. Yes, there are prophetic words you give to all of them. But Father, we do believe that, God, we can tap into what you're doing in the body because we are one. Come on, everybody say, we are one. And Lord, when one is blessed, we all get blessed. When one receives, we all receive. But Lord, thank you that you raise up men with a strong word, because he's going to lay hands on many in this congregation. Faith's going to be released. Where doubt arises, the power of the word that Chris speaks will lay the doubt low that the faith may rise. It couldn't be like the Roman centurion says, Lord, if you just say the word, it's done. What great faith. You know what Jesus said, Chris? I hadn't seen such great faith in all Israel. This is the greatest I've ever seen. Coming out of a Roman soldier, centurion. You know why? Because he saw who he was. He saw him. And when he saw Jesus, he couldn't doubt anymore. The reality of who he is. So I say to you, a visitation of the Lord is coming to you in the night watch. He will come in your bedroom. He will wake you up. And the beloved will speak into you, and you will receive the fresh download of heaven. The beloved will pour into you. When he calls you my son, your heart will leap with joy because the identity that he's put inside you. May the release of his kingdom, the release of his strategy and revelation come. If you need a healing this morning, I want you to come right now. If you need healing, come on. I want the prayer team to come. We're going to pray for you. Crohn's disease, diverticulitis, ulcerative colitis, lactose intolerance, gluten intolerance. Right now, the Lord is beginning healing bodies all over this room. Someone here has got a bad left knee. You're considering surgery. Would you please come? Let them lay hands on you. The Lord wants to heal your left knee. God's in a miracle working place right now. He's moving us forward, and we're going to stand in a new place because I'm telling you right now, this house is going to become a healing center. It'll be the children's bread, but it'll be a healing center, not a hospital where people will come and stay and stay and stay, but people will come and they'll be healed and they'll go in and out and lives will be changed because he is a healer. So Father, we thank you today. We celebrate the wonder of who you are. Right now, as we lay hands on these that are here, healings and miracles are coming. Hearts are being healed. Hearts are being healed right now. Physical hearts are being healed. The Lord is showing me somebody that's getting a valve replacement in their heart. You need to come down. We need to pray for that. Whoever you are, God's replacing your valve. The mitral valve in your heart is being replaced. The Lord is taking one from heaven and he's putting it in you. And you're not going to have the surgery, the doctor said, because Dr. Jesus has put it in you today. Sheto rava shita vakasata. Shoto Rambo Koshikavaha. Thank you. Sorry.